Turn it again to Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, where we have these words of the Apostle Paul, the words of the Holy Spirit in Holy Scripture. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, friends, we look at this verse here this evening. Don't be afraid of the masculine sounding word here where we speak of the sons of God. This is the children of God, of course, men and women, boys and girls. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Christians called many things in the Bible. Many titles given to believers. There's one, a believer. What are the Christians called? They're called believers. Elsewhere they're called the saved. The saved. And, of course, the forgiven. Christians, who are they? Well, they are those that are forgiven. Forgiven for all their sins. Elsewhere, of course, you may have heard of the expression the Christians are those that are born again of the Spirit of God. There is a spiritual birth that takes place within their souls. So many titles, if you like, or expressions to show that this one is a Christian. Here we have something a bit different. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Again, we have it very clearly. These are the Christians. They're called the children of God. Well, that's a marvellous thing. Children of God speaks of what the Bible calls adoption. It's a marvellous thing. You may have a connotation of adoption in your mind and in your heart. Of course, generally today, in this modern world, we think of adoption, well, as that babe born in perhaps very difficult circumstances, and another family adopts the baby, and we quite understand what that's all about, and that child becomes a legal member of that family. Well, of course, in New Testament days, in the days of Romans, the Roman Empire, adoption was something a bit different in those days. Now, you know, I don't really like to mention films or anything, but I mention a book, the book of Ben-Hur. The story of Lew Wallace, an American who wrote a tale of Christ. Well, I'm a bit wary to even mention it. But in that book, there's a marvellous description of adoption, the sort of adoption that went on in the time of the New Testament, in the time when Paul wrote this letter to the Roman Christians. Adoption was something amazing. And in the story, you may know this very well, there was that slave, and he's in the galleys. Judah Ben-Hur, and I don't repeat the story very much, but the thing turns out that he's able to save the tribune, Quintus Ares, and he saves him after the ship goes down, and puts him on a piece of the wreckage, and it turns out that this tribune is victorious in his great battle against the pirates, and the tribune is so taken with Judah Ben-Hur that he adopts him. Well, of course, Judah Ben-Hur was a grown man, had a family of his own, not children, but brothers, or rather sisters, and parents before that, but he adopts him. And the whole point of that adoption was that he became the legal heir of Quintus Ares, and he became the one that would inherit all his vast property. And he made him his son. And it was a very good situation, of course, for Judah Ben-Hur. And many of you know the story perhaps better than I do. But that's the sort of adoption that is spoken of in the Bible. And when we read in our verse here that they are the sons of God, the children of God, it means that there is a spiritual adoption whereby God makes certain ones that become believers, he adopts them into his family. And they become children of God in a very special sense. In, of course, the main sense that they inherit all the promises of God. They inherit eternal life. They inherit heaven to come. And they have the special care of their heavenly Father. And he watches over them and takes care of them. They are adopted into his family. And they love him as a father. And this is what the Bible speaks of when it says that believers, Christians, are the children of God. The Bible says we become children of God by spiritual conversion, by being born again, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ dies on the cross, It is an atonement. It is a payment for the sin that they have committed, their breaking of God's law and all their offence towards God. He is angry, and there needs to be what we call propitiation, a turning away of God's wrath, or else that person will suffer an eternity of hell. Well, Christ's death does that. God's law is satisfied as the Lord Jesus Christ pays the penalty for his people's sins. And as God does that, he remains just, for he has exerted the penalty for that broken law. But then he is able to forgive through his mercy and his wonderful grace those that come to him and seek his forgiveness and believe and trust in him. And so God is able to be just, and he is also able to be merciful. And we understand this. We understand it, that if we break the law of our land, there is a penalty to be paid. And if society does not inflict that punishment, then it is unfair, of course, on the victims of the crime. And it's not right. And society breaks down into anarchy. Same with God. He is the righteous judge. He must penalise the breakers of his law, or all would cease to be upheld and God would not be the perfect God. But God is not only righteous and just, he is also merciful, wonderfully merciful. So here is the wonder of wonders, the good news, the gospel, that he comes himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and bears the penalty instead in the place of all those he will save and bring to heaven. That's what the cross is all about. And those that come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of their sin and yield up their lives to him, well, he is the one that then saves them, and he makes them children of God. Oh, they are born again and become believers. They're forgiven. They have eternal life, and they are adopted as sons and daughters into the family of God. They are called the children of God. Well, this is wonderful love. The penalty, the suffering that the Lord Jesus Christ underwent, the willingness to come and to save such as us. This is what the Bible calls grace. None of it is deserved. All to make us children of God. Now, we want to ask a question here tonight. And the question is this. Who are the Christians? Who are the Christians? Who are the believers? Who are the children of God? Who are the sons and daughters of God? And plainly, the Bible says here that they are those that are led by the Spirit of God. You see it in our verse, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the Christians. They are the believers. They are the ones that have been born again of the Spirit of God. So we are glad that this verse, because there are so many that would tell us who a Christian is or what they believe a Christian is. And we think to ourselves, that's not what the Bible's telling us. Of course, the Muslims will say, certainly from other parts of the world, they would say, well, everyone in Britain is a Christian. We're Muslims here in Iran, Iraq, or some other such Muslim country. And they will say, well, we're Muslims. But they in Britain, well, they're Christians. Well, that's far from the truth. Far from what the Bible teaches us about who are the children of God. Many good people in the West, well, they will say that they are the Christians. Perhaps not everyone's a Christian, but all the good people, all the decent citizens, all those in the West, well, that have some semblance of morality, well, they are the Christians. No, the Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible tells us that it's those that are led by the Spirit of God that are the children of God. Many will say that they are Christians. But are they? Is there anything really about them that could remotely be called Christian according to biblical definitions? There are those that say, well, you're born a Christian, aren't you? You're born a Christian. Or you accept a morality, a certain morality that is the Christian's point of view. Or you are a professional Christian, like the clergy of our land, or perhaps the Salvation Army, something like that. Or you quite like the Bible, and you quite like to go to church rather than go to a mosque or some other sort of place of worship. So therefore you must be a Christian. Or you can have been baptised as a child, and put Church of England on the form if you're asked for your religion. All these definitions of who are the Christians are hopeless. Hopeless. We come to the Bible and we ask, who are the Christians? Who really are the Christians? And we come to one verse, and in just a few words, we find here a definition of the Christian. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. If we can get hold of this, we shall have a full and accurate and satisfying answers to our question, who really are the Christians? We shall also be helped and warned. Warned and be left in no doubt as to where we stand in this mighty matter. Are we Christians? Are we believers? Are we children of God? So look, those that are led by the Spirit of God. You may know that the Bible declares God to be one God, but also to be three persons. Well, now that already we're out of our depth, but we believe it because God has told us it in the Bible. So here is God, the one God, but he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Bible shows us the roles of these persons of the Godhead. We read that the Father sends his Son into the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the Father has this great role of sending his Son. And then we find the Son, the eternal Son of God, the one who has been with the Father throughout all eternity past. And he comes and he takes on a human body and a human soul, and he comes and lives his perfect life and dies an atoning death, a penalty death upon the cross. That's his great role. Of course, the Father and the Son are responsible for so much more than that. But I tell you the chief role that they have within this Godhead. The Son comes to save. The Son comes to seek and to save those that are lost. And then the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? What does this person in the Godhead do? Well, the Holy Spirit does many things. He's written this Bible, for one thing. But there is something else wonderful about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that comes and touches lives. The Holy Spirit is the one that comes and begins to wake us up in a spiritual way. In fact, it's not just a case of waking us up. It's a question of giving us life. Because the Bible tells us that we are dead, spiritually dead, in trespasses and sins. So it is the peculiar, the distinguishing work of the Holy Spirit to come wake us up, to give us life, to convince us that the Bible is true and the promise of God can be believed. And it is the Holy Spirit's work to convict us of our sin, to make us feel guilty and to cry out to God for forgiveness. And it's the Holy Spirit's work to open our spiritual eyes so that we might see it all, see ourselves as we really are, see our God in his purity and holiness, see the Lord Jesus Christ as the only wonderful Saviour. And so that's the Spirit's work, to wake us up, to convince us, to convict us, and to draw us to the Lord Jesus Christ so that we might cry out almost in an irresistible way, oh Lord, come, forgive me my sin, make me a child of God. That's the Holy Spirit's work. And then the Holy Spirit is given as a gift. He is given as a gift, and he resides in a spiritual way in the life of this new Christian, to help the Christian, to help the child of God, to live to the glory of God and to worship. And the Holy Spirit helps that person to live a pure life and to serve God and to appreciate the Lord and to love him. And this is all to do with being led by the Spirit of God. Who are the Christians? Who are the children of God? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh, friends, this is all to do with being led by the Spirit. The led part, that, yes, God leads the Christian. The Christian is one that is led by God. But we are puzzled and we say, well, in what way? In what way does the Holy Spirit lead the child of God, the Christian? Well, in this way. From the Bible, the Christian looks at this word of God and he sees what God says. And this Christian, this child of God, sees in the Bible what God requires of him, how to live his life. how to worship God, how to treat others, how to think, how to view this world in which he lives. That's what the Holy Spirit does with his own word, the Bible, and this is to do with him leading the children of God. And it's only those that are led by the Spirit of God that are the children of God. And the Bible shows the child of God, the believer, what he ought to do, for instance, to do with relationships. And it has to do with him showing the believer, through the word of God, his work ethic. And also how he should deal with difficulties in his life. And the Holy Spirit leads the child of God through the scriptures, through the Bible, and shows him what legitimate pleasures and occupations he can enjoy. Everything, really. Everything about his life and thinking and behaviour and action and worship. The Christian, the child of God, is one that is led by the Spirit of God, from the Bible, by the Holy Spirit's teaching him from the Bible how he ought to live and behave and think in his life. That's why the Bible is so important. That's why the preaching of the Word of God is so important to believers, to children of God. That's why they love to come to church, so they can have a faithful man just open up the Bible and explain what these words mean, just as we do tonight, and then to apply them to our lives. The Bible is so important because it's in the Bible that the believer is led and proves that he is a child of God. Well, of course, the Bible is everything to the child of God. To the child of God, the Christian, well, it's everything to him because he wants to be led by the Spirit of God. And how is he to know except God tell him? And it's not magic. It's not some individual voice from the sky. God has made it clear. If we want to be led by the Spirit of God, we will find out how in the Bible, God's word, the word of the Holy Spirit. And Christians are those that are led by the Spirit of God. Now I need to show you in a little more detail the telltale signs of the Christians, the children of God, that they are led. This is a lot to do with our belief concerning other people around us, so that in relationships, who we get involved with and what we do with them. So the Spirit of God sets all that out in the Bible. Who are the Christians? Well, simply those who obey the Bible in all relationships and associations and behaviour. They won't do some things that many other people do. Of course, when it comes to sexual perversion and those sort of things, well, he's very careful because he sees in the Bible how the Spirit of God leads him to only have those relationships and that behaviour that is set down in the Word of God. And so that's how he is led, by the Spirit of God. And anything outside of marriage, well, we see that the child of God will only be obedient and will only be led by the Spirit of God. They are led by the Spirit of God to do only what he says in the Bible. This is so straightforward. They are the Christians, no one else, those that are led by the Spirit of God to do only what the Bible says. Clearly, thousands and thousands of people around us are not led by the Spirit of God. No matter what label they might give to any beliefs that they might have, we look at this definition of a true child of God, and only the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. And then I mention the Christians, the children of God. Who are they? Well, it's a lot to do with their attitude to themselves. The Christian, the child of God, looks into the Bible to be led, and he sees not selfishness, not me first all the time, not proud behaviour, not greedy, or not outwardly or fanatically ambitious, certainly not for money or power or renown, and not to be full of self-pity, and not to go to pieces when things seem to go wrong, but to see it all as lessons from the Lord, to make him rely on his Heavenly Father's goodness and kindness and care, to see him through the difficult times and grief and trouble and even persecution. The Christian is led by the Spirit of God through the teaching of the Bible, by the Holy Spirit, comforting him and helping him in his life and to still live for the Saviour. They're the Christians. They're the believers. They're the saved ones. And if this is not so, then someone cannot be called in any sense a Christian. The Christian is one who is led by the Spirit of God in all their dealings with others in this world. The Bible tells the Christian to be kind and to be caring and to be considerate and courteous and generous. The Christian, the child of God, looks in the Bible and he says, Lord, I want to be led by thee. I want to be led by thy Spirit. How should I deal with all those around me? And he sees it in page after page, how it ought to be in his relationships with others all around him. But not just that. The Christian is led by the Spirit of God, especially to warn and to take the gospel to others. We call it witnessing. To tell of the great things that the Lord has done for them. Where does he get all that from? From the Bible. He's led by the Spirit of God in all that. And so that's how the child of God is led. How should I live my life? How should I behave? What should I be saying to others concerning what I have found in the Lord Jesus Christ? And he reads in the Bible, I should be telling others. I should be living to the glory of God. I should live such a life that others begin to inquire and say, how is it you live like that? How is it you think like that? Why is it that you don't go and do all these other things that so many other people do? Well, the Christian is able to say, well, I'm led by the Spirit of God. I read this in my Bible. This is how God wants me to live. He's given his life for me, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to live for his glory. And so I look diligently into his word to see how I should live my life, how I should think, how I should worship. And that's how it works. The Christian is one who is led by the Spirit of God, of course. There is an enormous part in all this that I must mention. It may not be so obvious to those around the child of God, the Christian, but it ought to be seen in some way. But a lot of what I've described now is hidden. It's deep in the heart and in the soul of the Christian, the child of God. And it also may be mistaken for the real thing in some who in no way are led by the Spirit of God in the ways that I've already spoken of. It's to do with worship. It's to do with worship. It's to do with devotion to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to do with love for the Saviour, deep appreciation for salvation. The Christian sees all that in the Bible. He sees it in the Bible, and much of it, of course, is instinctive to that one who has experienced salvation. It is instinctive to the real believer, the genuine Christian. But the real Christian is always deeply suspicious of himself. He knows that there was a time when he felt he knew what was what. But since the Spirit of God showed him his sin and led him to the Saviour, the Christian is very wary of himself. He says to himself, how should I worship? How should I worship? How should I behave in this world? How should I behave as a child of God? How should I pray? How should I give thanks? What should I sing? How will I reverently praise my God in a worthy manner? How should I use my very Bible to read and worship God when I'm on my own? How should my whole life be worship towards Almighty God, my Maker, the giver of all good gifts to me, and my Saviour and Redeemer, the one who's granted to me eternal life? How should I worship him? How can I truly praise him and give him thanks for all the good things that he has done for my soul? The Christian looks into the Bible. He studies all these subjects and he listens to a faithful man that will bring him all this teaching from the Bible, all out of the Word of God. And the Christian, the child of God, and none but the Christian is led by the Spirit of God to worship. To worship in that Bible taught way. And from the Bible, he, she is led by the Spirit of God to humble themselves in the presence of God and to lift up their soul in praise and thanks and to tell the Lord that he loves him for what he is and for what he has done and what he has done in history also and in his own soul. He is led to worship aright, not with man-made forms and ceremonies, not with physical props and human inventions and religious rites and pomp. No, only from the Bible. He's led by the Spirit of God as to how he should worship his God and Saviour, to deeply appreciate his Father in heaven, his Saviour who loved him and gave him, and all the Holy Spirit who came to him as his teacher and leads him now through the Word of God. And that child of God he worships with words, with real words of devotion and thanks and praise, not inanimate sounds and colours and buildings and physical movements. The Christian is led by the Spirit of God to worship with like-minded believers, because God says he delights in that, and that's why we gather together in a church, to worship God in the way that God has set out in his word. In all the Bible we are taught by the Holy Spirit, and it is the Christian, it is the child of God, who is led by these things as he sees them in the Bible and only wants to be obedient to what the Spirit of God has said. The non-Christian won't. He will hardly understand all this. Well, do you see? The child of God, the Christian, is led by the Spirit of God from the Bible. But so many will say, well, I'm not interested in the Bible. I don't want to follow what that says. Well, then don't claim. Don't claim to be Christian. Don't claim to be a believer if you're not interested in what the Bible says about how you should live, how you should behave, how you should think, how you should worship. If you're not interested in any of those things from the Bible, then there can be no claim to be a child of God, to be a Christian. Well, of course, this was the first experience of that believer, of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led that unbeliever first to come and confess his sin. And he said to himself, how shall I come? How do I know what the Lord requires of me, an unbeliever, someone who's bound for hell? How do I know what he wants of me? How shall I be saved? Well, he looks into the Bible, or some Christian friend will tell him, look, here's what the Spirit of God said. You must come, and you must repent of your sin, and you must yield up your life to the Saviour, trusting absolutely in him. And as they had that first experience of being led by the Spirit of God, then they catch hold of that, and it never lets them go. From then on, that believer, that child of God, is always led by the Spirit of God. And it is the great proof that they are the children of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so when it comes to spiritual issues, for the knotty problems of even theology and of eternity and where this world came from and what is going to happen at the end of time and all his own personal life and all the difficulties and questions he has, well, how will I find an answer? I'll go to my Bible. I'll go to the Spirit of God, see where he leads me and gives me understanding in these things and concerning the reality of God. The doubt comes along. Is he really there? Is it just a figment of my imagination that I've come and think that I'm a Christian? No, no, I believe these things. My life has been radically changed. How will I understand something of the reality of God? I'll go to my Bible. I'll see where the Spirit of God leads me. And I'll listen to some faithful preaching of the Word of God. And oh, I see here the glorious person of God. Three persons, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and our Father in heaven. And all the wonderful things he has done. And we see it, and we're led by these things, and we know that they are true. And oh, that believer is led by the Spirit of God. And then concerning the conscience, there is the Christian. There is the child of God. He goes through life and he fails. He goes through life and he makes mistakes. He goes through life and he gets into terrible difficulty in all sorts of circumstances, many of them not even his own fault. But he thinks, what can I do? How shall I be led out of this situation? I'll go to my Bible and I'll listen to the Word of God, and the Spirit of God will teach me and lead me and show me how I should think and how I should behave in this terrible situation, how I should repent and how I should seek God in prayer and know his blessing. You see, the child of God is led by the Spirit of God through the very word of God. And oh, the Christian sees the great danger that he has been in. And what did it make him do? He went to the word of God for great comfort, so that he might be brought back perhaps from the brink of terrible backsliding and moving away from the Lord, and found how he could return to the Lord and know his blessing and his help. And in every way he is led by the Spirit of God. How shall I know? What is the way of salvation? How shall I know how God has set out what we ought to know concerning himself and ourselves and how we might be reconciled with him? Well, we go to the Bible and we're led by the Spirit of God to know and to see these things and to understand them. Do you see? Do you see how this great definition of a real believer, a real child of God, is so, so clear? It is those that are led by the Spirit of God. And how are they led? By his word, the scripture. Oh friend, he was first led to follow the Holy Spirit, this believer, working in his soul, and he found the great mercy of God, that it was real, and he was converted, and he saw it all in the Bible as he was led by the Spirit of God. Now, of course, that child of God, he will do nothing else but be led by the Holy Spirit, by the Bible. These are the Christians. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. This is the only real biblical definition of who a real believer is, a real child of God, one who is led by the Spirit of God, led to the Son of God, led to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, led to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the big question for us here tonight is, are we? Are we led by the Spirit of God? Is this the great proof that we truly are the Lord's people, that we are led by the Spirit of God, led by the Scripture? Oh, friends, are we those that are led astray by older friends? Those that have said their experience in this world, have we been led astray to a life far away from God? Have we been led to error by our teachers, maybe even Christian teachers, so-called? Have we been led into error far away from the Bible? Have we been led to terrorism, even by evil men, as so many in this world are led? Have we been so easily led by the philosophy and wisdom, so-called, of this world? Have we been led to lead immoral lives by the influence of those around us? Have we led to be selfish because of what we have experienced in this world? Why have we been led to the Bible? Have we been led by the Spirit of God? Have we been led to these beautiful things, these glorious things, these eternal things that issue in eternal life? Our friends, the definition is so plain, so obvious. We ask ourselves tonight, what have we been led by? Are we led by the Spirit of God? Are we truly the Lord's? Because we are led by the Spirit of God. Our friends, I feel I've been very repetitive tonight, but I just want to ram home this so important point. And we ask ourselves as we finish, are we? Are we those that are the children of God? Are we? Is it proved? Because we are led by the Spirit of God, by what he has set out in the word of God. I pray God it is so. And if it's not so tonight, then seek him. He's so willing to lead you even now to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you might be led of him to salvation, the forgiveness of your sins, and heaven to come. Let's pray together.